Leasing.
No, don't you.
I'll make this as short as sweet. It's on leases, agenda paper number 8. Okay, last month, the board decided on some transitional provisions when an operating lessee or an operating lessor would apply the new leases proposals. We think in many cases a first-time adopter would be very similar to an operating lessee or a lessor. So therefore, our staff recommendation in question 1, paragraphs A and C, are consistent with what we've proposed. We've also proposed that a first-time adopter may be given an option to use fair value of the right of use asset as its deemed cost if it intends to revalue the right of use asset. Our main reason is because IFRS 1 allows an entity, a first time adopter, to apply an asset at fair value, to measure its asset at fair value at deemed cost for cost benefit reasons. In many cases, we think this may not necessarily apply for a lessee or when it wants to measure its right of use asset, but we would like to give that lessee an option when he wants to revalue the asset. So our staff recommendations are in question 1. Broadly, do you want to carry forward what an operating lessee would have for transitional provisions for a first-time adopter and also give that first-time adopter a fair value option if it intends to revalue its run of use asset?
I just had one question, Lily. Why do they have to continue to use the revaluation model? Why wouldn't you just allow it?
Just allow
the use of the fair value.
So a first time adopter would apply fair value as its deemed cost?
A one-off fair value.
I think as staff on this, and Peter can certainly add to this more because he was the author of IFRS 1, if I misarticulate, but I think the option that's available on IFRS 1 is on an asset-by-asset basis to use fair value as the deemed cost, which is why we felt it was definitely kind of there, you know, really as a cost benefits rationale when the boards thought that actually getting fair value would be easier than getting cost. And we just thought in the case of the right of use, because the right of use measurement, cost measurement kind of filters from the liability measurement, that those practicality reasons don't really apply, you know, in order to get the cost of the right of use, it flows from your measurement of the liability. And therefore we thought it might be that it didn't necessarily, you know, fit with the IFRS 1 rationale that you were only providing this, you know, where it would be practically difficult. In saying that, you could certainly decide that you could allow fair value, you know, as the deemed cost, remembering that it's on an item-by-item basis, you know, without any cost.
John, did you want to add
something? I just wanted to make the point that we, to Ian's point, IFRS 1 does allow a one-off fair valuation, even if going forward you're going to be in a depreciation mode rather than a reval mode. So I think Ian's suggestion is a reasonable one.
Anybody else?
Do I take it we can support the staff's recommendation?
Amended
for Ian's suggestion.
Let's just take you at the last bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
Pat? Oh, Tuck, yes.
About the paragraph 18, I support staff's proposal that the last part, this is talking about the other gap, about the financial lease, whether we use that balance of the financial lease, and would it be adopted to the those who was using different gap.
Yes.
And I understand it. I support it, but just I feel sympathy that, that those who has made a convergence to the IFRS, say for example in Japan, we made a significant convergence with the IFRS, and it's almost identical to the IFRS. However, because the it is not an IFRS, so in this sense, they cannot apply this, you know, keep the balance of financial lease. So that makes, in a sense, a bit significant difference. So I, yeah, just to let you know, so I'm not saying that you should change it, but just to take it in your mind that, you know, so that, that makes a change.
Yep.
Hans, can I say something to follow
on? Pat. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's also regarding paragraph 18. I wondered if the staff ever considered the possibility of granting first-time adopters relief for leases accounted for as finance leases under current GAAP that was along the same lines of the relief granted first-time adopters in applying IFRIC 4 and IFRS 1 D9A. That is, in IFRS 1 D9A says if a first-time adopter made the same determination of whether arrangement contained the lease in accordance with previous GAAP as that required by IFRIC 4, the first-time adopter need not reassess that determination when it adopts IFRS. That determination would have to be given the same outcome as the resulting from applying IFRS 17 and IFRIC 4. So I was thinking that the relief for finance leases might be worded something along the lines of if a first-time adopter made the same determination of whether a lease was a finance lease in accordance with previous GAAP as that required by IFRS 17. The first-time adopter need not reassess that determination when it adopts IFRS. So to Tak's point, if they were, if it was a finance lease under Japanese GAAP and it was a finance lease under IFRS, but maybe for different reasons, why would we make them go back and do it again?
Pat, I did consider that issue, and there were a couple of things that I was considering. One was that IFRS 1 never really had that principle apart from IFRIC 4. So to for me to consider that would be, in a way, opening a slippery slope on IFRS 1. I think that potentially differs, changes the principles on IFRS 1. In regards to IFRIC 4, I think that's a slightly different issue than what you're talking about. I think the boards, when they decided on IFRIC 4, the way it was written was, I don't have my basis here, but it was more of the fact that they, it was quite difficult for somebody to determine whether you had a lease on a few years back ago. So that's why they gave people that option to not apply IFRIC 4 on a retrospective basis. In other words, hindsight could have been used.
Philippe.
Hold on, Peter.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a bit more background on IFRIC 4 and the IFRS 1 there, because that was something that was introduced with the amendments that were led by the Canadians 2 or 3 years ago. And originally, as far as I remember, they did actually propose a broader principle, but IFRIC 4 was the only case they found. And the issue was that some national GAAPs had adopted something very similar to IFRIC 4, but with different effective dates. And the idea behind this exemption was to stop people having to redo the same assessment at a different date. So it was a very targeted sort of amendment.
Thank you.
Philippe?
I have sympathy for the points made by TAC and Patricia. I think that for those who have been applying financially the accounting based on standards which were compliant with IAS 17, but were not applying IFRS at that time, it will be a big amount of work to achieve something which will not change significantly the figures, but they have to do it to prove it. And they cannot base their assessment of materiality before they have done the calculations. They cannot say the change will not be material because they have to do it to prove it. So, and the outcome will be maybe very limited changes to the figures as reported.
There you go.
The issue brought by Canadians, and I remember the condition is the previous gap is identical, or maybe we use some words. You're closer, very closer. So just like what Tuck mentioned, you check it. If that's the case, I agree.
But if I can just chip in there, that exemption there is focused just on the classification question. It's not focused on how you do the measurement. So it's trying to exempt people from having to redo the same classification exercise.
And just to clarify that then, if we wanted to provide some relief around this for finance leases, it's not just about did the previous gap get to the same classification, it's did the previous gap effectively then account for those finance leases virtually identically to how IAS 17 did. And because we're kind of saying we don't know enough at this point to go into how all of the previous gaps work, to work out whether all of the wording around how you account for finance leases under those various gaps, would it be the same as IAS 17 in every situation, would it not? That's why we didn't suggest at this point that we do that.
Now, does this discussion lead to an adjusted proposal or not?
Not from my perspective, but unless board members.
So I would ask the board, can we follow this proposal?
Yes. Pat?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Session closed.
Start at 9 tomorrow. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.